Ready to rock and roll?
Ready to rock and roll, okay. Who does not know who I am? That's not a good sign. You didn't have to see me, but you know who I am, right? So I'm assuming everybody in here is on a team. Everybody in here is ready to roll, because if you're not, you're going to get kicked out of here. But not accepting any late teams or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. We're all set. We have 35 teams. We have about 140 of you in here. Some people have not registered yet, right? Okay, so the class list when I last checked was up to about, I think, 120, but I'm expecting, you know, more than that. So if you're not registered, please get registered. How was your summer? Who said short? Thank you. Good answer, whoever said short, right? Remember when you left engineering seminar, what did you all say? Besides, I can't wait. We're going to work on our projects, right? Oh, we're going to have all summer. What happened? You thought about working on it while you're laying at the beach, right? Actually, I saw a lot of... actually met with a number of teams this summer, and you know, I think there was some good work done. But today the clock starts running. So every week now you're going to have an assignment, and you're going to complain that these assignments come too fast and you don't have enough time to write to do the assignment and work on your project. But we now begin the process this semester of actually designing and building these things. And hopefully by the end of two semesters, you're going to have built this thing not once, but several times to actually get it right. That's one of the, you know, goals in all this. So what I wanted to do today is to go through the syllabus and talk about the layout of the course and what's expected of you and when things are going to be due and all that kind of stuff. And then you'll go off and start working on your first assignment. Now, the good news is this class is already ahead of the game from last semester because you spent time in seminar doing some of the groundwork. For example, every team has a website. Those websites are going to need to be updated, but you know, having a website up is a really good start. Every team has an advisor, a project that's been vetted, a proposal or abstract in place. So you're in good shape so far, but things start to happen quickly now. The single most important date you need to remember this semester is November 18th, but I'll talk about that as we go through the syllabus. But that's one date you're going to want to mark on your calendars because that's the date of your final presentation for this semester. November 18th. So we have essentially 2.5 months. Which is, what, 75 days, counting weekends. Let me first introduce one of the members of your coordinating. We have a new concept this semester called the coordinating committee. They've actually existed last semester, but you didn't see us meeting. But every week last semester, a group of faculty met to talk about your projects. Every one of your projects has been reviewed probably 20, 30 times by us. We know more about these projects than we probably ever wanted to know about these projects. And these are always fun meetings because you have each department represented, so you know you can sort of argue about design content and all those things across the disciplines and all that. One of those members is Frank Higgins, who's sitting back there. Frank is an amazing engineer. He used to teach ECE. Senior design until I showed up. He works with me. This guy can build circuits. So any of you who have problems with circuits, trust me, he can help you fix them. He's really knowledgeable. We also have Dick Cohen. I know you all know Dr. Cohen. And he represents mechanical engineering. And we have Sandeep Shah, who you had in engineering seminar class, and he represents civil. Every one of your projects has been assigned what we call a course coordinator. There's four of us, so we're each monitoring about 10 or 11 projects, mostly within our disciplines. I'm handling all the senior design 2 projects, and the rest are split between the other three. I'll send you an email with those assignments shortly, but if you're a team that's mechanical engineers, for example, probably Dr. Cohen is going to be your advisor. We were able to match up most of the teams with the appropriate faculty from their department. So let's begin by looking at the calendar. So this is the website for the course, which I just sent you an email about 15 minutes ago. So you'll have that URL. Everything you ever wanted to know about senior design is somewhere on this website. In particular, there's two important places you want to go. One is the Google sites, where your project website resides and all previous projects reside for at least the time at Temple here. And if you want to know a little bit more about me and what I expect, you can actually go to this older project site. I taught senior design for a while at my former school, and there's about 10 or 15 years of project archives here. All in a very similar format, asking for many of the same things that you're interested in. So one of the good rules of thumb in senior design is find a good project and copy it. We encourage cheating. Now, you don't copy it literally, but don't think of this course as an exercise in creative writing. You're not writing War and Peace in this course. You're doing templatized writing, which means you figure out exactly what we want and you give us that. And I will be very specific. If there's one thing to remember this semester, is when I set a requirement. Now, I know you're all thinking this is silly, but when I set a requirement and I say your abstract is to be between 100 and 150 words, what do I mean?
Between 150 and
150 words. If that comes back 99 words, I can tell you what your grade's going to be. If it comes back 151 words, I can tell you what your grade is going to be. I will run it through a word counter. And I love when it's not, when it's either less than 100 or greater than 150, I actually like that. Why?
Makes it easier for you.
Makes it easier for me to grade it. I don't have to read it. Reject it. So make it hard for me by actually following my advice. And then I have to get to read your projects and know a lot about them. So we're going to do a lot of... You're going to learn as engineers. I know this comes up every semester I've taught senior design. We go through the little dance about half of the semester. I set a requirement. You don't give me what I want. I give you a bad grade. You complain. Give you a chance to revise. You complain a little bit more. But by the middle of the semester, you're going to get it. That in the real world of engineering, we set requirements, and that's what I expect to receive. A product that conforms to those requirements. If you think I'm kidding about this, now I know we have actually a number of people in here who had really good internship experiences. So I'm kind of calling these people my ringers because they've actually been in industry and they've seen this. But early on when I taught the course and students would turn in documents that did not conform to my requirements, I told the following story that many, many years ago I worked for Texas Instruments, and as a corporation we worked on some large proposals, and I worked on a proposal writing effort where we spent probably about $500,000 on that proposal. $500,000 just on the proposal. The proposal itself was, I don't know, $200 million or something. We went to submit it. Like all engineers, right? It was due 5 o'clock on a Friday, and when did we go to submit it?
4:30.
4:45 on a Friday, right? No problem. And this was, you know, this was early days of internet. I mean, we're not, it's not like today. When we submitted it, the tool came back and said, the site that we were submitting to, the funding agency, said denied. Okay, so that was exactly the sound amongst the group of us sitting here watching this. Why? Because it's $500,000 sitting here. Why was it denied? No, even unfortunately it wasn't that, but the tool we used to generate the final document, the PDF document, put headers out in the margins, like along the bottom, like, you know, like half inch up off the bottom of the page when the margins were supposed to be 1 inch. And the submission tool scanned incoming documents to make sure they met the format that was required by the proposal. So if it saw stuff in your margin, which was a real easy thing to check in those days, it even did not even let you upload the document. So if you ever want to see engineers panic, now we've got 15 minutes, you know, to fix this and get it submitted. And sure enough, about 2 minutes before the deadline, we managed to get it out. But, you know, $500,000, 4 months of our time, because we didn't conform to their requirements. You will find this, you know, very common throughout your industry. How many people have worked on, I know some of you as interns have actually worked on either proposals or responded to requests for work or that kind of thing? One, you over here. Did you have, what was one of the first, what did you do early on in that process? Did you sit down and actually go through the requirements for the submission?
Yeah, that's basically what we did.
Right. My daughter this summer actually worked at a drug company. She spent the summer just making sure that their submissions for approval to test drugs and things like this met the requirements of the agency. That was her entire job, was to make sure the documents she was being given had all the right pieces to meet the proposal submission. And today with, of course, electronics, it's very easy to do this stuff electronically, and computers, as you know, are cold-hearted. They don't really care that you've worked very hard on that proposal. It's, you know, reject it until it passes. So within a few weeks, I'm going to ask you for a two-page problem statement. I'm going to tell you the margins, I'm going to tell you the formats, all that stuff, and I mean it, you know, 2 pages. So, this course, a large part of what you're going to learn in this course is how to set and then respond to requirements. Requirements-driven engineering is a very, very important way engineering is done these days. So from this site, there's a lot of information. We'll constantly be using it over throughout the semester. But one thing you may already be familiar with from last semester is the Project Idea Database. Another very important directory, though, are the templates directory, where you'll find templates for all the different documents we're going to do this semester. So we'll sort of work from these as we go. So we'll spend most of the rest of today on the syllabus. So this is a little contact information for me. I would hope none of you have trouble getting hold of me. We actually have something new there, laboratory. Anderson 104. We have a senior design lab, finally. And I use that word loosely because when I walked into Anderson 104, it didn't look like the senior design lab. It was more like the senior design disaster. But we got, you know, this is something you'll actually learn in industry or when you get space, you basically get the least desirable space, right? So we got 2 rooms in Anderson for the college that the owners of Anderson, College of Liberal Arts, didn't really want to use this year. But the nice thing is we got 104. 104 is a very big room set up as a studio, which basically is a nice way to say it's a dump. It's got high ceilings, lights, walls are all stripped and written all over and everything, but it's our home. It's our senior design space. So as you get to a point where you need space to work on your projects, you'll be able to use the Sanderson 104. And we're still working out all the details of that, but the main thing for now is to know that as you need space, you'll get it. Many of you will be working with research labs or working with labs within engineering architecture, and you won't need as much space. So you'll be okay. But for those projects that need space, we've got it. We can probably set up about 12 benches in that lab that you can timeshare. So that's a nice, that's probably the most interesting thing in that slide. Meeting time. There's been a lot of discussion about meeting time. What we've done this semester, I'm very proud of this because I worked with making this happen, is that we've made you all block off 2 days on your schedule, right? Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 1:50. On Tuesdays, we're going to hold lecture. You're here today, which was a good sign. A number of people asked me, are we really meeting? I heard we don't really meet in senior design. And my response was, you obviously don't know me if you're asking that question. I said, so maybe we should meet both days of the week, just to make a point. But we will lecture on Tuesday. I will try to give you some useful information, and it's always good as a group just to sort of touch base and make sure you're not going off the deep end. On Thursday, you are going to meet as teams. Too often at Temple, we hear the phrase, you know, we cannot find a meeting time at which everyone's available. And that's a big issue, believe me, because about half the teams in this room, here's another thing to listen to me carefully, half the teams in this room are going to suffer serious group dysfunction this semester. Now you're all looking at each other, right? Not me. These are my friends. These are the people I go on beer runs with. I can really trust them. Well, unfortunately, beer runs and senior design are two different things. They will still want to go on beer runs on senior design, unfortunately. But that might be documentary. Trust me, half the teams in this room will at some point this semester write me and say, you know, some of my members aren't showing up, you know, these people aren't doing any work, you know, blah, 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 blah. We can't meet as a team. There's no time that everyone's available. So we solve that. I like to solve problems. So now I expect to walk around this campus and find you meeting as teams from 12:30 to 1:50 on Thursdays. You can use the Tech Center, has some really nice breakout rooms. There's at least a dozen breakout rooms in the Tech Center. There's space in engineering and architecture, you know, wherever there's a library, but one way or the other, you need to meet every week. You need to document those meetings. Put a blog of your team meetings up on your website. We will monitor that. You will get points for that as you grade your websites. So lectures on Tuesday, team meetings on Thursday. The coordinating committee will also be available to you Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if you need to talk to your course coordinator, they'll be available. And most likely your advisor, if they're not teaching, will be available at that time. Prerequisites, you all should meet the prerequisites for this course. I've been talking to the students at ECE in a pretty detailed way about that, and I think the other departments have also gone through your transcripts. But make sure you're ready to be in this course in terms of your coursework, because we will find you this semester. The university is actually switching over to an automatic prerequisite checker. So it's harder and harder to take courses out of sequence. All right, Temple students you all are like money driven or whatever the word is, bottom line driven. So there's the bottom line. That's your final grade. This is the matrix of how we're going to assign grades. Every week, you'll have an assignment due. Assignments are due 8 a.m. on Monday morning. What does it mean for an assignment to be due? Do not bring me paper. I don't take paper. Assignments due mean what? No, do not email it to me. You email me a 20 megabyte file, you're really upset.
On the website, on the delivery.
What it means to be graded is that we will go to your website at 8 a.m. on Monday and pull down the appropriate document and grade it. When you do your midterm presentation and your final presentation, you will, and this is another thing to listen to carefully, we will pull the presentation from your website at the time you do the presentation. Why? You're saying, oh, Dr. Piconi, I'll put that presentation on the website. We made some changes. We'll get it out there. Doesn't happen. So we have this hard rule that the presentation must be done live from the website so that there is an archive of that presentation of what was actually given at that meeting. So everything comes off your website. Now you're saying, oh, you know, no big deal, he's wasting my time here. You would not believe the problems we had with Teams not posting things to the website last semester. At least a dozen times I heard, well, you know, John was responsible for that, and he said it was going to be posted, but he didn't post it. Give me a break. And my answer was, well, I'll give you all the breaks you want, but your score is still a zero for that assignment. I mean, simple thing, but that happens every semester in this course. We've had people show up for the final presentation with they're editing it out in the hallway, right, before they're going to give it, right? And they show up with, a memory stick or something and say, you know, here, let me load this. And I'll say, why? We're going to use the one that's on the website. We've had teams, the one I always love is, you go off the website and you put up the presentation. And, you know, the speaker's nervous because it's a little pretense. And you look at the title page and it's all misformatted. And the speaker panics. Why?
Conversion.
What?
Conversion is wrong.
No, that's actually another issue that we'll talk about. But the speaker panics because the speaker was told by somebody else in the group that that right version of that presentation was going to be linked on the website. Don't worry about it. It'll be there. Just go up and give the talk. And, you know, something like that, even if you eventually get the right one loaded, by then the speaker's lost it, right? Because you're panicking, you know, you get off your game, and you're shot. So, I mean, again, these are all simple things within your control, but these kinds of things happen every semester. So, weekly deliverables, turn into the website. We grade them off the website, send you your grades via email. We will hopefully return those grades within the week so that you have time to edit that and get it turned in within a week after that. The next major thing is the design document. Now, some of you, I think that most of you have not been through the new tech writing course yet, but in the tech writing course now, they're actually teaching them how to write this document. But we're going to lay this out for you section by section. Very specific formats. We'll give you a template that has those formats built in. We're going to teach you more about Microsoft Word than you ever wanted to know this semester. But the bottom line is follow the formats, pay attention to the guidelines, and when you do, you'll get a good grade on your design document and you'll have a good project. And you'll end up with a design document which meets my requirement of 50 or 100 pages with 20 scientific references. How many of the design documents last semester met my requirements? They got nailed last semester on their design documents. They were exhausted because they put all their effort into giving the final presentation. And then they said, oh, after the presentation, we'll finish up the design document. What happens after the final presentation? Well, I heard the drunk part. After that, a couple days later, what happens? And by the way, we don't encourage drinking and all that. What happens after that? After you wake up from your drunken stupor and you realize you're back in school. You start doing all that coursework that you didn't do the previous 3 or 4 weeks while you were scrambling to survive senior design. So the design documents came in very badly last semester. That's not good. They're going to get here an earful next on Thursday about that. They're going to have to work on those in the second semester. But design document is a big part of your grade. It's something that gets a lot of scrutiny. Why is it in your best interest to produce a good design document? Very, very simple. What? Does someone know the answer to that? Why is it in your best interest to do a really good job on this design document? And I'll tell you the answer to that has nothing to do with senior design. It prepares you for the future. Well, I'm not nearly that philosophical. I'm much more pragmatic. But I agree with that. But let's talk dollars and cents. What's going? You know, you're going to hear this story a lot. Why do I have you do websites? Some of you have already heard this story too many times. No. Come on, Pam. I expect it better than that. Well, continue along that vein. What? That's actually happened. I've had companies contact me as senior design instructor and say, we would like to license this technology. Who do I talk to? And I love that. I send it to the students and say, welcome, you're in the real world now. Now you got to figure out if you're going to sell this. I've had students file patents on their projects. I've had companies say things like, we'll hire you for the summer to come and build this thing for us. I've had companies ask questions like, "Is this new, or are there other patents that cover this area?" So the website's really good because it gets you a lot of airplay. But more importantly, more practical in terms of your futures. What's the primary use of this website, in my view? What's going to happen if you
catalog everything that happens in your time.
Well, that's true too. You should, but we'll talk about that for the semester.
You mean for the future?
Like, yeah, for the future. So,
if we're like in a job interview.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Then your employer or prospective employer may ask, like, "Oh, well, you know, you said you did this for senior design, so show me."
So, did someone pay you to say this?
Did
I? Thank you. The check is waiting as you walk out today. I have had this, I'll forward emails periodically. Every semester I get these wonderful emails from former students, and I write them and I say, come on, you're just saying this because you want me to feel good. But this happens every semester. How did you get that job interview in the first place? They look at your resume. Did they look at all your coursework and see that you can do statics and dynamics and all this stuff? No. They look at your senior design project and said, oh, they've done something similar to what I need. Let me talk to this student. So then you go on the job interview. What's the first thing they do? And this happens all the time. You say, well, they ask you, what significant job experience did you have? Well, I worked on this senior design project. What do they say? Well, let's look at it. So they pop your website during that job interview. Now, what are they going to look at on that website? What's the first thing they're going to look at? The design document. And God help you if there's a spelling error in that executive summary. Because they're going to look at that and they're going to see if there's clear errors like that, you're screwed. I have had people look at design documents during job interviews. I've had them look at your presentations. They will go through the slides of your presentation. They will ask you questions about your project. And we'll talk later in the semester about that, but you better be prepared to answer every question about your project, whether or not you did that piece. And that's one of the reasons why I do teach things a certain way in senior design, because the day will come when they will ask you if you're a mechanical or civil about that piece of electronics that was in your project. And if you say, I know nothing about that, someone else did that, what are they going to think? You weren't really involved in the project. You weren't taking a leadership role in that project. So you will be responsible for everything about the project on that job interview. So, design documents, very important. Companies, you'll hear, this is a statistic, you'll hear a lot in engineering. 80%, I don't know how they measure these things, but there's a statistic that's very popular which says something to the following. 80% of your success as an engineer will be due to your technical communication skills, your ability to read, write, and present. So, obviously we spend a lot of time in senior design on things other than the cool stuff, actually building hardware. Okay, the website, another reason we give 20% to the website. Two important things for the website. For you, it's the job interview. The other thing, which is a very good point, is a complete archive of your project. I should be able to replicate every aspect of your project from your website. Now, where's the Data Glove group? Okay, I want you to tell the story of the YouTube video. This is a story I think that's relevant.
What story?
You guys came to me, right?
Yeah.
And you said, we want to do something like this. So the story is about the difference between good, real documentation and a YouTube video. Right? So they came to me and they said, I don't mean to pick on you guys, it's just a really good story about the subtlety of engineering. We want to build something like this, and they showed me a YouTube video. And what was the gist of the video?
They were able to manipulate 3D objects with the device they had.
And that was, what was the real point of the video, though? And what attracted?
They're trying to show that it was able to work, but then when we did the research, we found out that it would only be able to work for like 1 minute.
So the point of the video was that they look in a, like, what did he say, like a day's time or half a day's time, he built this thing, right?
Yes.
And the video actually showed him assembling it. You know, wonderful way you can do you can cut up video. And so you see this video, you could say, well, here's good documentation. Here's this great video showing this Data Glove, right? Could you replicate that product from that video? No, and in fact, the video hid a lot of the challenges with that technology. And the deeper they got into it, the more they realized the video, the system shown in the glove in the video was not really the one you wanted to build, right? Because it had lots of problems that were hidden in the video. So a video on YouTube is not what we call good engineering documentation. The website should contain everything, schematics, engineering drawings, data from your testing, descriptions of your test conditions, just about anything you do towards this project ought to be put up on your website. From what I can tell, we have an unlimited space on these Google sites, so don't be afraid to use it. But someone who comes along in a semester or two or three should be able to replicate your project from what's on that website. That's how we grade the websites. I don't look for fancy graphics. It's nice if it has some visual appeal, but I'm more interested in it being a complete archive of your project. So if there's no test data up there, for example, that's a problem. If there's no schematics, I like to see, just a lot of information that tells us about the product or the project. Your advisor valuation, 10%. Keep your advisors happy. Advisor grading to me is really simple. I just call the advisor and say thumbs up or thumbs down. And then I, figure out some way to make that look reasonable and numeric grade. But, advising, your advisors will tell me yes or no. It's all that simple. How do you get a yes or how do you get a thumbs up? What's the worst thing, another thing that happens every semester, just amazes me. What's the absolute worst thing you can do to your advisor?
Lie.
No, actually, there's something worse than lying. not show up to meetings. Every semester I hear from advisors, I have not seen my team in 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know what they're doing or where they are. That's actually not even the worst one. The worst one is they told me they were going to be here at 11 o'clock today, and they didn't show up, and they never told me why they didn't show up. That's the worst one. At least make up an excuse and send them an email. Your grandmother died for the seventh time. Whatever it takes. But any, you know, don't. You must meet with your advisors every week. If your advisor doesn't agree to meet with you every week, you come and talk to me, and I will make them agree to meet with you every week. That's part of the ground rules. Keep them happy. Keep them in the loop. Don't shield bad news from them. Don't tell them everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. Come to the final presentation and nothing's working. That's a waste of everybody's time. Keep the advisors happy. That's a big rule in this class. Even though it's only 10% of your grade, I can tell you that advisors, when they tell me the students were outstanding, those are usually the A projects. If the advisor says, they got problems, those projects usually have problems. So keep your advisor happy. What else? Preliminary presentations. We will go through 4 presentations in this course over the 2 semesters. You get me for 2 semesters, unfortunately. Preliminary, the midterm of the first semester, final presentation of the first semester, midterm second semester, final presentation of the second semester. Unlike previous years, where we've seen these wonderful group presentations. This person does 2 minutes, then they hand it off to this person, then they hand it off to this person, then they hand it off to that person. Those kinds of presentations are not the way it's done in the real world. In the real world, the project leader, usually your supervisor, stands up and gives the whole presentation, especially for a 15-minute presentation. So, each one of you, the teams are limited to 4 people, because I want everybody to have a chance to make one of these presentations. And you will have to speak about the entire project. And when questions come up, you'll have to answer the questions. You can't say, let somebody else answer that question. I don't know anything about that. So there's going to be 4 presentations over the course of the 2 semesters. Even though they're only 5% of the grade, you know, obviously if you give, they are a strong indicator of the health of your project. There's some peer review we'll talk about later. Now, this semester, I'm trying something new. It turns out indentured servitude didn't work too well last semester, so I have to use a different strategy. How many credit hours is this course? How much work in a credit hour equivalents are you going to do in this course? Good. Okay, so we have a good understanding here. And don't go complain to the dean if you want. Trust me, I'll be right behind you.
Excuse me.
We're working on the credit hour issue, actually. I'm sorry, what was that?
You don't want to hear me.
What? No, what did,
you don't want to hear me.
What did he say? I'm fine. What is
We share the sentiment.
Yes. No, I realize the credit hour is an issue. In my former school, I fought the same battle. I started in the exact same situation. Senior design was 1 hour and then 2 hours. Guess what it ended up? 3 hours and 3 hours. I will win that battle here. Trust me. It's just taking a little bit of time because Temple caps us at 124 hours. But we will win that battle. But nevertheless, that's, you guys are going to be long gone. So.
Maybe.
Or you'll be on like your 7th iteration of senior design. I think we can get it this time. This has got to work. So there's a new thing this semester. The most common complaint I hear about this course is, how can you ask us to understand and write about something if we haven't already built it? And this, we'll talk about this a lot. I mean, I think I talked, I said the same thing to you guys back in seminar course, but this whole issue of, you know, do engineers build first and document later, or do they document first and then build? Well, in this course, you're going to learn we actually document first and build. Even though you think you can't really figure things out until you build it, that's just not the way engineering works. And if you think hard enough about it and you apply what you've learned in your courses, you can actually figure out a lot of things before you ever build something. And you'll be better for that because you will know, you'll have some expectation about what to build and all this thing. Nevertheless, you know, there's a great saying in programming, which is the only good program I've ever written is one I've written three or four times before. So if you want to succeed in second semester, the best thing in the world is to actually prototype something in the first semester to kind of figure out how this thing's really going to work. So what I'm going to try this semester is, instead of requiring that, since I know it's only one credit hour, I want you to, if you want to build a hardware prototype this semester to see how this, you know, get some idea how this is going to work, and you're willing to demonstrate that at the end of the semester, and if it's fully functional, I'll give you 25% on top of your grade, which is a big, that's a big jump, right? That's going to take you.
What's fully functional?
Well, we're going to talk about that. It roughly meets your design requirements. Okay, so let's say you're building a wind turbine that's supposed to produce, you know, 10 megawatts. And, okay, so you got a little pinwheel that's spinning. No, here's my wind turbine. Scale model! Bought for $1 at the dollar store. You know, now that's not quite what we call functional prototyping. But I really do want to encourage you to actually get your hands dirty kind of testing some of the components. So, and then we'll assign varying amounts of credit for that depending on how, you know, what you show us and how far you get. But that's meant to be an incentive. It's extra credit to really put your grade in your control, but to also encourage you to have built some pieces of this so that by second semester you have a really good idea what you need to build. Yeah?
For the prototype, can we demonstrate partial of the scope of work that we're intending to do for the entire project?
Yeah. I mean, we could start to negotiate that, and you may not get the full 25, but it's meant to be an incentive. So you can shoot for as much of that as you want. And you can actually argue. I kind of like students to argue with me. So if you want to argue, you know, how much that's worth, you can have that argument.
Fair enough.
Those who know me know you never really convinced me. You know that I kind of do what I have in mind. I'm pretty hard-headed. But we can have an argument nevertheless.
And change.
No, I think you all are building really great. We have a really good project this semester. I'm really impressed with where we're sitting right now. I'm really excited about what we're going to do this semester. So that'll work to your advantage. All right, so that's the thing Temple students seem to want to know most. What goes into my grade? There's, you know, some of the tech goes through some of that in a little more detail. Let me just say one other thing off the bat about grading. I like to invoke what I call the survivor clause. The television show Survivor, I think, was one of the ones that made this popular. If at the end of the semester you want to kick somebody off your team, I am open to that discussion, especially if it's a situation where three people agree the fourth person has not done anything. So what happens to that person? Absolutely. Well, first of all, that person comes to me and says, I don't know what they're talking about. I did everything I asked for. I think they don't like me because I'm a good basketball player. Now look, there's three people telling me one thing and you're telling me something else. So what do I do next?
All four of you.
That takes too much time. What do I do next? Food. Relates to something I said earlier. No.
Give him the boot.
What do? I call the advisor up and say, you know, John Smith seems to be having a little bit of trouble here. Can you tell me about John Smith? Every time this happens, what does the advisor say? I didn't even know John Smith was on this project. Who's John Smith? All right, so what's, you know, what's John Smith's prospects looking like at this point?
Doing team design twice.
So John Smith gets booted off of the team. Now what does John Smith do? John Smith starts all over again. Back to senior design one. Except that there's a problem with that. The teams have already formed for senior design one. So John Smith may be headed back to seminar class. John Smith may graduate in a year. One more year, not just half a not just one semester. Now, we've never really had this happen. Usually I'm much more skilled at this, and I get John Smith to basically admit it and drop the course or something. We've had that happen. For the first time that has happened at Temple, I've never had this actually happen before. I always talk about this rule, I've never had to invoke it. And don't. The bottom line is don't make me invoke this rule. If you're one of these people who thinks you're going to slide by, I'm telling you, your team members are going to get really upset with you really early in the semester. And I will know about it. It just comes out either from advisors or team members or whatever. But there is that clause, and it's important you understand that because I will stick by it. If your team wants to get rid of you, you're gone. And I don't want that to happen because the ramifications of that are really serious. So lecture-wise, this is sort of what things look like. The most important thing here to note is November 18th. What happens on November 18th, we have Senior Design Day. From your point of view, classes are canceled, right? That's a good thing. Only you won't be in such a good mood on that day. Who attended Senior Design Day last time? How many of, now be careful here, because I have attendance records. How many of you actually attended the three talks that we asked you to attend?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Certainly was just handed to the teacher that were classes were missing.
Was that useful?
Yeah.
Was it useful? Could you tell the high performing teams from the weak performing teams at those presentations?
Yes.
In how many seconds from when the presentation started? How many seconds from when the presentation started could you tell that?
20.
10 seconds?
You can 30 because they got to introduce them.
Probably about 30 seconds, right?
Let's introduce them.
That's going to be you on November 18th.
That's going to be one of us, right?
One of you.
There's George, you're up first.
It's very easy to tell when you see these presentations what's going on. Now, the good news is I was ready to flunk the entire class by the middle of last semester, my first senior design class. I was really worried. They were really struggling. However, by the end of the semester, and if you saw the Senior Design 1 presentation by the end of last semester, I was very impressed. I gave them all A's for their presentations, and they all got more or less A's for the course. They got it together. It was amazing. It was really amazing, especially since the night before I actually practiced some presentations with students, the night before, and it was not looking good. So, November 18th. You're all going to get up there and you're going to blow people away. We're going to have people from industry there. We're going to have a lot, it's a big day, as you observed last year.
Can we get a list of audience members?
So how do we get to November 18th and survive that? Well, one of the things I've learned over the years is practice. So we'll do, sort of at the middle of the semester, we'll do a dry run of those presentations just to get you kind of used to what's expected. And then along the way, we'll essentially build up the pieces of the design document. I'll tell you very specifically about designing, what design engineering is, and then we'll go through the design document piece by piece. We'll also do some analysis of the, one of the classes I really enjoy is after the talks, we'll devote a class to actually reviewing the talks and talking about, as a group, talking about what went worked well, what didn't work well, and things like that. Deliverables. So now I'm going to give you a quiz. First deliverable, due on the 6th, which happens to be a holiday, but of course the beauty of the computers, technology is, you don't, you know, we can make things due on a holiday. So, 9-6, your website. What am I expecting to find on your website on September 6th? Your team,
deliverables, documents,
your advisor, and your title. How many of you in this room will comply with that? Everybody, right? Everybody, right? I mean, how could it can't be so simple. Do you know how long I had to go last semester before the advisor was mentioned on every project front page, even though I asked for it, starting from the first class, about half the semester? About half the teams ignored me for the first couple weeks. And then when I gave them zeros for their websites, they had the nerve to say, why did I get such a bad grade? It was 75% of the way there. I should have got 75% of the credit. That's not the way this course works. Do you know how long I had to go last semester until every member of the team's name was spelled properly on their presentations? Final presentations. You laugh at these things, but this is what we look at. Grading this course is not hard. I'm not, you know, the errors are glaring. So make sure those websites are cleaned up. Make sure the project, do you know how long I had to go last semester before the project title on the website actually matched what they were doing? Because think about it, most of you are saying, oh, piece of cake, I'm going to go away on Labor Day, our website's already out there, he can grade it, no problem, right? Two big problems. For many of you, the titles of your projects have changed since you made that website. For many of you, the team members have changed. I will go through the class roster. I have the infamous senior design spreadsheet. I'll share this with you. I think I should share this with you. Just list all your names and your projects, your advisors, all that stuff. I will just go down that list and check. And I bet you on the 6th that at least half of the websites don't get that completely right. I would love to lose that bet. We should make a bet, and I'll like buy donuts or something for the class if I lose that bet. But I would like to lose that bet. So, the clock's running. You've got your website new. Get that updated. And then we're just going to start rolling through things. Project title, abstract, problem statement, and so forth. Now, one of the things you're going to complain about is that I won't actually let, some of these things will be due before I lecture on them. And I know what you're going to write on your evaluations. He didn't tell us what he wanted until after the design, after the assignment was due. Do you think I'm that stupid? Where can you find what's expected for these assignments? There is, within the design document template, it explains section by section what's expected. It shows you everything, all the formatting issues, the content issues. It will tell you, for example, problem statement, four sections to it. Section 1 should have this, section 2 should have that. It's all laid out. We will iterate. You won't get these things right the first time, but we will iterate on these things. So the idea is you turn them in once, we grade them and then give you some feedback, and then you revise them and turn them in again. Unfortunately, because of the 15 weeks is not a lot of time, we can't do all this ahead of time and then have you turn in these assignments. There's just not enough time to do it that way. However, in the new technical writing course, which we started teaching last semester, they actually go through this exercise in technical writing. So starting next semester, we'll have students who've already been through this once. All of you here have been through two writing courses, so you presumably know all this stuff anyway. But we'll have a chance to tune up that knowledge a bit. And so we'll go through these things and we'll kind of show you what to do. Now, when it comes time to actually do these things, so this is sort of my last 5 minutes. I'll get you out of here in an hour. What is the wrong way? Senior design is all about teamwork, right?
That's correct.
And I know you've heard ad nauseum, teamwork, 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 right? So what is the absolute worst way to write? Let's say we have a particular assignment. You're going to write your executive summary, which is one page. What is the absolute worst way to go about writing your one page?
By yourself.
What?
By yourself.
No?
With all four people working.
Go ahead, Joe.
You have all four people working on it at once.
I see this all the time. Four people, two of them who usually have ADD, sitting around a terminal writing the executive summary. This is a massive, massive waste of time, and yet you see this in senior design all the time. How do you get through all these assignments? You divide and conquer. You multitask. You don't do things sequentially. You have to learn how to break things up and do them in parallel. Now, that creates a big problem. And this happens all the time. Where's your problem statement? Oh, John was going to turn that in and he didn't, and we can't get hold of John. Even though John carries a cell phone, a BlackBerry, you know, etc., somehow John cannot be found when it comes time to turn that document in. So the rest of the team claims we shouldn't be penalized for that. So you're going to delegate, but what's the problem with delegating? It's a waste of time? No. You have to delegate to survive this course. You have to partition the tasks. You've got to have a backup plan. So if the problem statement is due 8 a.m. Monday, when should you see, and that assignment was given to John for that week, because the rest of you are working on other pieces simultaneously, when should you see John's contribution? At least a few days in advance, so you have time to correct when John doesn't show up. So multitasking is important and partitioning, but that also creates a management challenge, because not everyone's going to be attentive to deadlines like you think. I can't tell you the number of times I'll get an abstract and I'll say, well, there's spelling errors in this abstract, Mary, how could you have let that happen? And what does Mary say? See, this John guy's in a real lot of trouble, right? What does Mary say? John promised. He promised me that he was going to proofread that last night. And he didn't do his job. And what am I going to tell poor Mary? That's not my problem. That's your problem. So, you know, you run into all these kinds of problems. Every semester this happens. Every semester I tell the same stories. Every semester I get tired of seeing this stuff. This semester it's going to be different, because you're all very capable. I know a lot of the students in this room personally, and I know you're all, you know, really good. We've got a lot of good teams. You've been through a pretty arduous process of finding these projects, right? I mean, this was not easy this time around. We put more time into screening these projects this year than ever before. So, your biggest challenge in this course is to become a highly functioning team. It is actually, I know this is trite, but it is actually all about teamwork. The high-performing teams where every student is kind of doing their thing and they're all coordinated, those are the projects that succeed. And all of you are within that, you know, all of you are capable of that. You just have to kind of be very realistic about your skills and about your commitments, and then set up a schedule that meshes with that. But we're going to have 100%, in, you know, 100% success in this class. No project left behind, right? Because I don't want to have to deal with you in one semester if you design one. All right, questions? Questions? Yep.
The final presentation in the next semester, is that one person?
Yep.
The final.
All presentations are one person. You're going to hear soon about how that's done in industry. We're going to have a guest speaker. We're not done yet. Don't start going anywhere. I will tell you when we're done. Other questions? Oh, building access. There's a good question. There's a forward-thinking question. Those, I will get you 24-hour access if you need it. To both Anderson and EA. So as we progress through the semester, if you need 24-hour access, we'll get that. That's not a problem. You all have I hope by now you've all downloaded MATLAB and all these things, gotten your computing environment set up. You'll have access to all this software to help you be successful with these projects.
Yeah. We have a budget.
Do you have a budget? Yes.
Well,
we know what that is.
No. That's a good question. Like in the real world, you know, the easy answer to that would be, well, you're paying a course fee of $75, so you've got a $300 budget. That's not the way life works. Negotiate with me on your budgets. Some of you with research groups, I'm told, have unlimited budgets, right? But, you know, each project has a slightly different set of circumstances. But generally, we want to help support these projects. Since you're paying a course fee, we owe that to you. So you do have a budget. Aren't you working on Helfrich's?
No.
Dr. Yeah, he's got unlimited. That's all I had to say. We're going to have. Well, hold it. Quiet. We have one last thing from members from the student advisory.
Special events. Hey, everybody. I'm just real quick announcement before you guys leave. My name is Jordan. This is Adir. We're with special events. We coordinate some of the student activities each semester. Some of you guys might be familiar with some of these announcements if you've been here in past semesters. We basically just look for fun, inexpensive things for us to do when we're outside of class. And something that we did last year, which is really popular, we decided to do again this year, is we've got an allotment of student faculty passes to go see a two-hour live comedy show at a place called Dangerfields Comedy Club out in New York City in Manhattan. It's a really famous place if you guys haven't heard of it. It's one of the most famous clubs in the world. I know last year we did this. People from the school had a chance to see Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle there. And nobody go. It's really expensive. They charge $50 to get in at the door. Through the school, they gave us the student passes to go for 90% off. Woohoo! You guys are excited, I know. Lots of energy here, that's awesome. So instead of paying $50, each student pass to go is $10 and admits two people, so it ends up being $5 a person. Since people are busy with school and work and maybe don't go to New York City often, they're valid until July of 2012. So you have two whole years to actually pick a night to go. The show's 7 nights a week. Just before you go, you have to call ahead and make a reservation. When you get there still is a standard two-item minimum. Most of you guys might be 21. If you're 21, drink whatever you want. Not, they have apple juice, chocolate milk, stuff like that. And you'll be part of the school to get the passes. You'll be part of Temple to get them, but you can take friends or family with you. You don't go to school here. A lot of people get them as gifts. It looks nice. It says $50 on top of the ticket. So we get a small lot at the beginning of the semester. We pass them out first come, first serve, or finish. So if you'd like to go, it's called Dangerfields out in Manhattan, New York City. Each student pass to go is $10, admits two people, and you have two whole years to go out and enjoy yourself wherever you want to go. So, by a show of hands, who would like to go?
I'll go.
All right, so if you would like to pick them up with any questions, me and Adir will be up here up front before you leave. Peace.
All right, good luck. Thanks, everyone's successful this semester. Thank you.
one.
I can get up and go.